This is Opus 33, Number 2, Adjusting, written by Ivic and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Bucky/Clint. Summary. Recently turned werewolf Clint is having a hard time accepting his new circumstances, but his boyfriend is determined to do everything he can to ease the adjustment period. This is part 2 of the Werewolf Clint series. Clint wouldn't let Bucky near him the first time he shifted, or the next 2 times after that, convinced he would become a mindless beast, even though he knew that wasn't how it worked. The were that had attacked him had been drugged, out of his mind with fear and pain. Afterwards, at the funeral, his family had talked about how gentle of a person he had been. They'd had a hard time reconciling the vicious attack with the memories of him in either form. Bucky had been all too happy to help dispatch the AIM scientists responsible with extreme prejudice. All of the research and samples for turning wares feral had been destroyed. Anyone wanting to try the same scheme was going to have to start from the ground up. The one researcher who had attempted to brag that Bucky couldn't destroy his memories had been dealt with too. He wouldn't be telling any tales from 6 feet under. Clint had somehow gotten Stark to agree to let him hole up in the Hulk cell at the bottom of the Avengers Tower and avoid all interaction. He hadn't even allowed the bots to make deliveries, setting things up with Stark before his shift so that he would have enough food and water to last the 3 days. Bucky had been strong-armed into agreeing to stay out of the tower, and Clint had refused to talk to him about his preparations beforehand or how it had gone after he'd come home. So he didn't really know how Clint handled the 3 days. Tony had mostly acquiesced to Clint's request for privacy and hadn't given Bucky much information either, which, considering how much he liked to hear himself talk, had been a bit of a surprise. But after the second shift, Bucky had managed to pin Tony down and get him to agree to talk Clint out of hiding in the tower again. Well, it had been less Clint agreeing he no longer needed the precautions, and more Tony had refused to let him back because, quote, "We've already seen you aren't any more dangerous shifted than you are not, and I'm done enabling you before your boyfriend, who will always be the most dangerous, maims me," end quote. Now it was Thursday, and the moon would be entering its full phase the next morning. When Bucky entered the apartment, pizza boxes in his hand, he found Clint looking absolutely despondent on the couch. He looked up from where he had been blankly staring at the "Are you still there?" screen, and briefly met Bucky's eyes. He immediately turned away, face wretched. "Are you sure you won't go stay in a hotel or something?" "I'm positive, Clint. You aren't dangerous." "I'm not sure I want you to see me like this." "I've seen you at every stage of pathetic and low. I've seen rock bottom and dumpster pizza. This is not that." Clint gave a sardonic snort. "Doll, I'm just happy to still have you here. I don't care what shape you're in today, tomorrow, or in 30 years from now." "Yeah?" It was sad and small, and Bucky pounced. "Yes, I'm pretty sure you're it for me, Clint, and I'm not letting a little thing like lycanthropy stop me from enjoying every moment with you I can." "Little," Clint scoffed, but Bucky could see the tips of his ears redden in response to the unusual display of sappiness. "Now come on, let's eat." It was a measure of how distraught Clint was that he only managed half a slice before setting it down and leaving the room. Bucky stared at the half-eaten piece, debating how long a moment he needed to let Clint have alone. He went ahead and closed up the pizza boxes and set them in the fridge for later, then tried to tidy up. He was pretty haphazard about it, really just picking things up and setting them down elsewhere, just to move them again. He knew he felt unmoored. He wasn't sure how Clint was coping at all. In the end, he only lasted 10 minutes before peeking in through the bedroom door. Clint still lay atop the covers. Bucky curled up behind him, squeezing him tightly. He wondered if he just pressed firmly enough if he could force the idea that everything was going to be okay into Clint. Clint let himself be held for all of 3 minutes. "I just don't want this," he said, voice hushed. "I know, doll, I know. I want to be alone right now. Okay, sure. You gonna try and get some sleep? Yeah. It sounded like a lie, but Bucky didn't press the issue. I'll be in later, okay? Bucky couldn't help but hold his breath as he waited for the answer, even as he did his best to feign nonchalance. Normally, Clint could read him like a book, but he was distracted by his own misery and didn't call Bucky out for worrying. Okay, Clint finally agreed, after a drawn-out moment that felt like an eternity. Bucky kissed the crown of his head and slipped from the bed. Sleep good, he called from the door before he shut it. He stood there collecting his thoughts before returning to the main living area and surveying things thoughtfully. He'd been making plans and preparations for Clint's first at-home shift. He hadn't wanted to start on them too early, knowing that Clint would have hated seeing the accommodations, but if he was going to hide in bed for the rest of the night, it was time for Bucky to get to work. Well, after he finished his own dinner. It was almost midnight when Bucky returned to their bedroom. Clint was snoring softly, still on top of the covers. He snorted and snuffled as Bucky deftly removed his shoes, jeans, and hearing aids before tucking him under the covers, but didn't wake. Bucky felt affection for the adorable idiot surge through him and dotted a kiss to his temple before getting himself ready. When Bucky snuggled down into the blankets, Clint latched onto him like a heat-seeking missile. Content with life, Bucky quickly fell asleep. They woke up together the next morning, early for Clint, but late for Bucky. Let's get some coffee in you while you can still have it, Bucky suggested, when it seemed like Clint was going to stay hiding under the covers. He unburied himself enough to make a face at Bucky. You're not going to let me have any after I... That's just fucking rude. It's not good for you in that form. Okay, he'd known caffeine wasn't great for dogs, so he'd asked Cassidy, his go-to for werewolf information, about it, and Clint would be large enough that it wouldn't hurt him, but he'd be more sensitive to it. She had suggested that Bucky wouldn't want to deal with a hyperactive wolf in their cramped apartment. Clint didn't need to know all the details, though. Next you're going to tell me I can't have any pizza. Oh no, I'm not stupid enough for that. I like having a boyfriend. Bucky chuckled at his joke, then laughed harder when he realized Clint wasn't going to deny the accusation. Clint took his time before he finally joined Bucky at the kitchen island. He wrapped himself around the mug Bucky handed him, the largest one they owned. He was halfway through drinking it before he began to notice the little changes Bucky had made the previous night. Bucky watched him survey the area, a wrinkle between his brows. Bucky had swapped out the round doorknobs with levers that Clint would be able to push down to release the latch, and if the door swung inward, where he wouldn't be able to push through with his snout, he had tied a pull rope to the handle. Clint couldn't tell from looking, but he had also installed push-to-open mechanisms on all of the cabinets. Where'd that come from? He asked, pointing at a new lamp by the couch. Go check it out. Bucky watched Clint wander over, squinting at the lamp suspiciously. After he couldn't find a switch, he reached out a tentative hand, then jerked it back in surprise when it turned on at his touch. It's got three settings, Bucky told him, and smiled as Clint tapped the lamp repeatedly, cycling through the different light levels, delight shining in his eyes. He finally left it off and came to lean his shoulder into Bucky. Thanks. I love you, Bucky told him firmly, taking the coffee mug out of his hand to set to the side. He pulled Clint to him in a tight hug, ignoring Clint's squawk of mock indignation and the awkward angle Bucky had yanked him into. Clint squirmed loose just enough to be able to maneuver in for a kiss. Think we have time for a quickie? He asked when they separated, panting. Bucky looked at the clock and considered it. Not sure I want to risk it, he decided. Cassidy says it's roughly 36 hours before the full moon that the change happens, and that's in like 20 minutes if my math is right. All of the joy fell off of Clint's face. Right. A pause. I should finish my coffee, I guess. Bucky reluctantly let Clint slip from his lap. Clint finished the coffee in one long swig, set the mug back down on the coffee table, and headed up the stairs. Bucky heard the bathroom door close while he started washing the mugs, just for something to do with his hands. Finished much too soon, he ended up just watching the minutes tick by on the microwave clock. He knew Clint didn't want him to see the change, didn't want him to see him at all while he was changed, but he was only barely willing to accommodate the first thing. Usually, Bucky was used to his enhanced hearing, so that most of it filtered out and he wasn't actively aware of things he recognized as safe. He didn't track heartbeats or the shuffling movements of Clint and the other residents in the apartments surrounding theirs by default. It was kind of like how most people didn't notice the humming of the refrigerator, buzzing of overhead lights, or a ticking clock. But he couldn't keep his focus away from Clint, despite clicking on the television to try to drown out the noise with the local news. He wasn't exactly sure if Clint knew how good his hearing was, but he knew his boyfriend well enough that if he thought Bucky was listening in on him on purpose, he would see it as an invasion of privacy. So, over the sounds of the morning show discussing a newly opened Italian restaurant, he heard Clint's clothes hitting the floor and heard him flop on top of the mattress. There was rustling of the comforter. Bucky assumed he'd crawled under it since he didn't have fur yet for warmth. The newscaster had changed topics, discussing construction in Manhattan that would affect traffic, as if that wasn't bad enough without single lane closures, when noises Bucky had never heard before came from the bedroom. The noises were wet and organic sounding, and were overlaid with whimpers that morphed into a long whine. It lasted less than a minute, and Bucky was surprised to find himself standing at the bottom of the staircase, hand clenched on the railing. He didn't remember getting off the couch. He dithered there, unsure if he should give Clint more time and space alone, or go check on him. Cassidy had warned him that the change was not pretty to witness or experience, had said there was some pain while it happened, but that it didn't last once the transformation was complete. If Clint was miserable, it was mental, not lingering physical effects of the shift. The need to check on his boyfriend won out, and Bucky mounted the stairs as casually as he could manage, not wanting Clint to read too much into his tread if it seemed too fast or too slow from his usual. When he was in a bad headspace, Clint had a way of overanalyzing every little thing, and usually managed to decide it meant he was unwanted. Bucky knew that Clint's ability to hear returned while transformed, something that didn't last once he was back in his natural state, and something that seemed to dredge up a lot of mixed feelings in Clint. He wouldn't really talk about it, just like with everything else, but Bucky could see it in his face when he'd admitted that Bucky wouldn't have to rely on his signing skills. He wasn't great at it yet. Clint had to correct him pretty often when he got the hand shape wrong, or messed up the movement, or forgot to make a facial expression. Sometimes he fucked it up enough that Clint had to ask questions to figure out what Bucky was trying to say, so Bucky had been worried about when Clint wouldn't be able to talk. And now Bucky was the one overthinking. He gave himself a mental kick and let himself into the room. Clint. Reluctance written on every line of his body, Clint crawled out from under the comforter and into sight, and Bucky felt his breath catch in his throat as Clint's paws hit the floor. Clint was massive, bigger in person than he had seemed on the security footage stills Bucky had gotten from Tony. His fur was a gorgeous tawny color, with white fur around his muzzle and chest. Clint was already turning away before Bucky marshaled his thoughts into coherency. Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Oh my God, Clint, you're breathtaking. Clint stiffened before he started to walk towards Bucky. His steps were agonizingly slow, and as he drew closer, he dropped to his belly. Bucky didn't know what the display meant, wondered if Clint was begging for acceptance, and hated the insecurities that plagued his lover. Bucky dropped to his knees and shuffled forward to meet Clint, diving his hands into his ruff and cuddling in close. I love you, he reminded Clint. Whatever you look like, I love you. Whatever it takes that we still get to be together, I love you. Clint gave the kind of happy whine Bucky recognized from Lucky, before Kate had whisked him off to the West Coast, and wriggled in Bucky's grasp. He managed to knock Bucky onto his back and started nosing and licking at Bucky's neck and chin. Bucky couldn't help the laugh that burst from him as he twisted to try and keep his face out of reach. It was kind of disgusting, kind of a lot disgusting, but the intent behind it had Bucky's heart swelling in his chest. The end.